Welcome to the Compliance Advisor Podcast from SearchCompliance.com. Each week, editors Scott Peterson and Alex Howard interview leading experts on risk, governance, and compliance.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson, executive editor of SearchCompliance.com, and welcome to this week's Compliance Advisor Podcast. Here with me today to understand yet another way of applying risk management are Amit Sen, director and practice leader at Patney America's Business Consulting Services Group, and John Vaughn, director of industry solutions at Patney's Business Consulting Services Group. So this interview continues our discussion from a few weeks ago when I met Amit and John at the MIT Sloan CIO Summit. We were at the IT Governance Risk and Compliance panel. During the Q&A period, John asked the panel if they thought that risk management was too focused on security or, as he put it, password authentication. A few of the panelists danced around the question but never really answered it. Later, we grabbed a cookie and I went up to John and I asked him if he thought the panel had answered his question. He just smiled and started talking and didn't stop talking for a while as he showed some great enthusiasm on the subject. So let me start with you, John. What was it that you were trying to ask the panel that day, and what did you think of their answers?
Well, I think, you know, the panel, we were at MIT, and we had some heavyweights on the panel. One was from the SEC, the other was from Sallie Mae, and they were talking about this idea of, you know, governance, risk, and compliance. And it just sounds so important. But we just came through a financial crisis where people or companies were not watching risk, which is the middle term. And my primary question was, the last 10 years of kind of IT strategy or 7 years of IT strategy around SOX compliance seems to be very focused around security and hardening the assets and going after making sure you know who has the data, who can see the data. But at the end of the day, does that really address the systemic risk that businesses are facing? And how do you get companies to focus more on looking at risk to their business model, not necessarily risk to what essentially is breaking and entering or unauthorized access to data? And the panel just didn't know how to answer that, and I think they've just been so deeply entrenched in the spirit of trying to create, you know, security and maybe transparency and reporting, but there hasn't been much focus on, am I putting my business model at risk? And we thought it was a very appropriate topic for the whole session, because you walk out of one session when you have a CIO forum like that, and they talk about process automation and how process automation is really taking your business processes and automating them. And then you think about risk. And the question we're trying to pose to the industry is, can we take the maturity of kind of a GRC process and turn it onto business model risk instead of more security and procedure risk? So we can adopt a mature process that already has the CIO's attention and say, we would like to focus this process, but now let's look at risk to the enterprise business model. Are there things that we're doing that we've automated, are going to automate? Are there automation changes we're doing that can accelerate the risk to our business model? And in the world of manufacturing, you don't have to look very far below the surface, and you can see that people have automated processes that are losing the company money or creating additional risk. And we would like to introduce, you know, into the IT governance stack this idea of what procedures in place, you know, what procedures can we put in place so that we're watching whether these new things we're automating creates risk for the business model. So it's one of those questions, yes, IT could do it. You could put up, you know, a website. You could form partners with third parties, and you could connect everybody. But are you introducing risk to the core business model of profitability and market share and leverage? And so we feel if you take that same process and put a check mark on it and go, I'm going to watch business model risk as part of this process, then I think you really start to address the concerns that were raised when they created the Sarbanes-Oxley legislation, which is not only how do you get more transparency, but you're really trying to answer the question, how do you reduce the chance of a catastrophic failure due to unseen business risk?
Amit, do you think that risk managers can really spend too much time on security?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, as John, you know, the question that he tried to ask there is, you know, fundamentally gets to the root question is, what is risk? How does risk get introduced by IT or in an IT platform process? And is it about securing the gates or is it about securing the causes that introduces risk that eventually impacts your business model? Or do we primarily focus on password and, you know, reset and physical risk and security management, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the problem that has happened is IT has become very complex. IT has become global. IT is supporting global platforms, global processes, and IT-enabled processes now have exposure simultaneously to everywhere in the world, right? So even 2-3 years ago, even if there was an ineffective IT governance that it did not pay enough attention to risk, the impact of it was limited, so you had some time to react, right? Because of lack of management of complexity that IT introduces in the system, a lot of times, you know, transparency is an issue. People do not know what business processes have been automated. What is the implication of turning on the switch and taking the process global? And, you know, they do not understand the codes that behind it. They do not understand how the applications connect. They do not understand how the data is defined. So the question fundamentally comes down to, you know, what is it are we securing against? Is it only about, you know, separation of duties and, you know, password reset, you know, which is kind of what SOX, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley has forced kind of the IT organizations to do, but sometimes they have missed the bigger picture. We talk about, you know, in this world of globalization and, you know, this world of connected system, there have been situations where companies have run a promotion globally without understanding the impact it will have on their supply chain. So what they had to do, their system got so overwhelmed, and then they realized within the first 2 hours of running the promotion that this is going to be such a tremendous financial disaster for them, they had to put an immediate stop to that. Did they realize and understand before they actually went into this what is the implication of this? No, they did not have understand, you know, how the system would connect and how quickly the impact of this will be felt everywhere within the organization. And that is fundamentally where we come from. We said, you know, guys, wait. Okay, there is something about physical security. There is something about IT security, data security, application security that we have to worry about. However, we need to remind the executives, we need to remind the IT executives, the business executives, that the lack of ineffective IT governance, you know, the inability or lack of desire to control the complexity within your IT system portends a much bigger risk and much more disastrous risk to your organization than what you have to do as a part of Sarbanes-Oxley.
Okay. I'll throw this out to both of you then. When we're talking about applying risk management to business models or business, how is this accomplished? How do we measure this risk? And then how do companies interpret that data?
Well, I think you have to start with ensuring that the company clearly builds their own model and documentation around what their business model is. So if you're a CPG company and you're shipping products, your business model revolves, you know, around manufacturing, market share, profitability, and inventory positions. Right, and anything that affects your inventory positions, or anything that affects your market share, or anything affects the profitability of those shipments, needs to go through a GRC check, and you have to model the impact of it. So we're trying to push companies to get out of anecdotal and into actually modeling. If you're going to change your distribution network, is another example, and we had one. Scenario where the guy says, we want to ship from any product from anywhere. And, okay, you do that, but what happens is if you give everyone the freedom to ship every product from everywhere, you create chaos in the supply planning system. And there's other little items inside of all these systems that directly affect the model. So in the banking industry, you know, it's all about leverage. So, you know, you bring in $100 and you leverage it out 10 times. And you can go to IT and you can ask them, can you introduce new products for us in the banking industry? And the IT people, you know, up until now basically said, oh, sure, what's the product look like? We'd love to do that. No problem. It'll be a three-month project. Without doing a check, just saying, oh, but this product, you know, doubles the leverage at the bank. So you can automate things faster, but you may not understand your risk. So what it really looks like is we need to insert a process that has to be executed on any type of these strategic projects. So I think you have a process for ongoing projects, new projects that come up that definitely affect the IT stack. So the IT people can say, no, we looked at it. We don't think this could dramatically affect the business model. But then prior to that step, we also think you need to take, companies need to take a look at their current automated processes in detail. So we've taken other corporations through and we talk to them about, you know, their profitability. And we go, okay, well, let's look at the profitability on every shipment you made and find how many were made below cost. And the department managers initially go, well, we just look at our, you know, average margin KPI. And we go, well, you need to understand how many boxes leave this place and it's actually below cost. And so that's another way to kind of set the baseline for, one, how much risk do you have in your process right now? And two, these new requests that come in from everywhere, is it possible that they're introducing and weakening the company's a core business model? And that's what you have to ask. And it can be as innocent as how long does the system hold inventory when an order comes in? So if you send in an order to a manufacturer and your system allows it to hold inventory for 2 weeks because you don't want anyone to steal the inventory from that order and apply it to another order, it sounds kind of boring. An IT person can change that overnight, how long it holds inventory. But if you hold inventory an extra week, you've basically committed the entire company to lower turns, which affects the business model and the profitability, even though it's a three-second change in the system. So I think we have to relook at process automation and what points, if you change the parameters, affect the business model. And those items have to be known up front so that the people running those projects know, oops, I'm now touching something that affects the core business model of my company, and it needs to go through some rigorous steps. So it's part of it. As simple as an inventory process of the process automation you have in place versus your business model, and then it's an ongoing process that allows the projects to go through a real GRC process focused on, are you introducing risks to our core business model?
So I was going to say that. So to kind of put that in kind of a framework, if you might. So you basically say, if we look at it as from a framework point of view, what is it that we need to establish, right? I mean, as John said, the first thing you need to establish is a foundation, is an understanding of your current infrastructure, current applications, and your business processes and how they're implemented. You know, the second leg in the framework is a process that, you know, a change management process or an overall risk management process that has IT as a co-participant in that process, and that is managed and addressed globally. And the third thing is to create a more of a, risk awareness culture. And, you know, sometimes people tend to forget IT organization as a significant player in managing risk in an organization. That has to change, and IT needs to organization and the IT people who happen to be responsible for IT application and processes have to be included in this and get more aware about what a risk awareness culture is and how it brings value.
continuing on with that, though, if you're trying to model risk, is there, are you guys saying, what's the worst case scenario? Or are you trying to say there's some amount of risk that's acceptable here?
Well, you always, anytime you introduce a change, you have to do, you know, risk versus reward. And so what we would recommend, you know, kind of out of the gates for people who want to look at this, one is they got to look, you have to understand what are the core levers in your business model. You know, so like if you're a wholesaler, maybe it's, you know, break bulk and you know, banks, it's around leverage. So you have to know what your key lever points are. And then you really have to model it. And so we're recommending you model it. And if it's too complex to model it, you got to reach out. So, like, we formed a partnership with some folks at MIT so that if we have kind of a business model that somebody wants to make changes to or change to the automation system, and it's very complex and global, we'll reach out to a research partner. So you just have to make sure that the change you're going to make really is backed up by kind of, one, this is where the industry's headed, two, this is where the research shows, three, we see that it's not going to introduce new risk to our business model. I don't think you ever want to increase the risk on the business model. You know, all your projects should be focused around reducing the existing risks and costs. I don't think anyone wants to introduce new risks. And the point is that you have to do it empirically and understand what really happened. And, you know, a simple example is we did another research around back orders. So we had a company with very poor customer service, and they allowed for a back order process. And we looked at it and we said, well, you actually serve your, you know, we looked at all the data, and you actually serve this set of customers better than you're serving everybody else, and they're the ones who do not have a back order process. And so what that meant was when this customer, if you don't have a back order process, it simply means you order it once, and then a company ships it once, and the transaction is closed. And so in today's world of automation, that proved to be the most successful relationship. But yet they had automated it so that a customer could order 50 times on the same purchase order. And so that ordering something 50 times on the purchase order makes it very difficult to even prove that you got all the goods, and it's very hard to pay on both sides. So it actually increased everybody's cost. So it was just an example where we kind of used research to reduce risk in the business model. I wouldn't take on many programs that introduced risk to a core business model. And the whole point of bringing up the GRC process is that if you put a process in place, you'll understand which ones increase risk to your business model and which ones reduce risk. And our point is right now is that if you walked into most of the projects running around the globe, the IT people who are running those process automations don't necessarily understand whether or not they're increasing risk. All they're trying to do is deliver on requirements.
You know, so, Scott, the question is, you know, can there be life without risk? I don't think that's necessarily possible or desirable. However, you know, we need to understand where are we introducing risk, and whatever risk that we introduce is understood and planned and not a byproduct of lack of knowledge or visibility into what actually goes on within the organization. We find time and again that IT organization still is not necessarily well integrated into this process, right? I mean, and overall, this risk management and risk mitigation is still not taken as seriously. And, you know, we see that as we go about creating a business case for investment, and business case also has to address risk and have to put together kind of a risk management process, risk audit process for programs like this, so that it is front and square, you know, before we get started, we know what are we going to impact and if that's desirable and that was planned.
Okay, so who leads this process? Is this outside of IT? And if so, what kind of relationship does that person have with IT?
Well, we feel that what's happened, and we're just in a unique point of history. So what's happened in the last 10 years is, you know, you have a IT landscape that's now dominated by ERP solutions, which drive a lot of process automation. And so you've actually done a transfer of knowledge from the business departments into the IT departments of how the business is actually running. So for that, because you end up with a lot of your process knowledge is in the IT departments now, because they're so tied into these pieces of software, that we feel the leadership has to come out of the realm of IT, because they really own the process now, because that's what runs. And you can automate a process that could cause you to lose money for years, and you may not even know it because there's so much data. And so I just think what we're trying to do is adapt. So if you take the strength of GRC as it's come forward and it's on everybody's lips, and it already has roles and responsibilities in the organization, it should have roles and responsibilities in the product portfolio and management. And what we'd like to do is really kind of adapt that role to also, you know, expand their role to look at business model risk. And then what I would do is I would team that up with either an outside consultancy or an outside research partner, like we've been able to do with some of the universities, so that you can produce an independent voice on what's going to happen to the business model when these changes are introduced.
There's a talk, you know, within our industry now. That's, you know, is the role of CIO changing, right? And to me, I think it has already changed, right? It is not, you know, I heard this term being used called, you know, CIO is really now more of a CPO, a chief process officer, right? I mean, I think that has always been the true role of a CIO, is to have, and because of ERP and wide adoption of ERP applications, that is the single most role within any organization that truly has end-to-end view of what actually goes on in an organization. And they also have the data that they can pull in, they can slice and dice, they can look at what the process is going on and what's all the implications that come with it. Now, it's time to make that to a certain extent, you know, formal and responsible to not only execute the process, but truly understand the implication of that on the business model, provide visibility into that, provide transparency, and enable the organization to understand the risk and react to it, right? So it has to start with the CIO's office, but it needs the proper, you know, alignment with the rest of the, you know, the executive team. And there has to be visibility of this at the board level as well, because some of these are still not well understood, right? And so there's a certain level of education that has to happen. And, you know, the responsibility lies with where the process, you know, the transparency can be provided and understanding of what goes on is really there.
You mentioned just a few minutes ago about partners. And when you introduce partners into this whole process, do you have to institute a separate process, some kind of a partner management program, to vet them for the risk that they would introduce to the system or to the business model?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to box your partners in a way that they can perform, you know, the service well for you. They can give you an objective viewpoint. Because realize, you know, most IT projects or initiatives have a couple very strong sponsors, and those sponsors have bought into a vision. And so all you're trying to do is introduce some objective third party, whether it's the GRC, you know, office itself, or if they have a complex problem enough, they either bring in, you know, one of the research firms or one of the consulting firms to just vet it out and make sure it doesn't impact the model. But yeah, you do have to have kind of a special relationship with those partners to make sure, you know, they're not accelerating risk. But at a minimum, we want people to actively manage it so it doesn't look like a due diligence problem. And, you know, another example is third party. So, you know, there's a big word out in the industry called collaboration. And so different companies have interpreted that different way. But if you're a retailer and you give all your information to your manufacturers and you say, manufacturers, you know, help me manage my inventory positions in my stores for your product, well, that's, you walk into your IT department and you lay it all out, and the IT guys go, yeah, we can help plug people in, we can get them connected, and it'll be done in X number of months. Great. But the risk you introduce is, well, what if the CPG companies aren't very good at managing your inventory, and now the inventory in your store systems are sub-optimized? Well, to something that sounded like a great IT project introduced a global systemic risk to your business model, and did you know that? And if you did know it, what metrics are you using to manage them to make sure inventory is optimized across all these parties that come in? And so it's just, we're just trying to say, you know, we need to be more careful with our automation processes, and we really need to benchmark them against their effects of the core business model. And then if you do see risk, they have to manage them. So the metrics would have to be defined up front. And how are you going to incent these people to succeed, you know, when it's a function you had and then you've outsourced?
Amit, I'll give you the last word on this.
IT risk is business risk. Business can't afford to assume that IT risk is only contained within the IT walls. You know, as we, you know, go through this process of, you know, replacing technology-driven approach and a fragmented view of IT risk with a more of an integrated view that starts understanding of the business risk and the consequences that come from different IT decisions. See, if I can leave with the three thoughts that I want to leave everyone with. One is, you know, beef up your IT governance. You know, a lot of our understanding or lack of, you know, starts there. Number two, manage complexity of your processes and of your systems so that it is easier for the IT organization to provide the transparency that the business needs to understand this issue. And third, create a risk-aware culture. And when we talk about risk-aware culture, it is about people within IT, people within business understand that there are certain business impact that happens from the different decision, you know, in the different decisions or things that they undertake, and they need to understand that, you know, that a lot, you know, they need to be aware of these issues and become more aware of what, you know, what risk or they should or should not, you know, introduce in the system and how they should make it transparent to the broader business audience.
Thank you. We've been talking with Amit Sen, Director and Practice Leader at Patney America's Business Consulting Services Group, and his colleague John Vaughn, Director of Industry Solutions at Patney's Business Consulting Services Group. Thank you, gentlemen, for enlightening us on this topic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Compliance Advisor Podcast. For more information on risk, governance, and compliance, visit searchcompliance.com. If you have questions or other feedback about this episode, please let us know at editor@searchcompliance.com or comment on our blog at itknowledgeexchange.techtarget.com/IT-compliance. You can also follow us at IT Compliance on Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.